My name's Dr. Clara Greed, and I'm Professor of Inclusive Urban Planning in the School of Architecture and Planning at the University of the West of England, Bristol.
Thank you. And what is your involvement in the committee?
I'm a member of the committee, having previously been a member of the other 64, 65 sanitary installation committees, and I was the person that wrote the first draft of the entire standard, which we based our final standard on after many committee meetings and revisions.
Okay. And what do you do as a committee member?
Well, I've been very actively involved in trying to guide the standard through and with the chairmanship of John Griggs, and also I've been particularly concerned about some of the problems we've previously had with the standards, such as gender inequality. So we've tried to ensure this time that there's better provision, because this is the first standard that's specifically for public toilets, whereas the other standards have been on toilets in buildings such as offices and factories and shops. So that this is an entirely new standard, and I think it's my own research on public toilet provision has definitely fed into this standard and the committee.
Okay. Can you tell me more about BS 6465 and Part 4 in particular?
Well, BS 6465, sanitary installations, comes in four parts. The first part is general standards, particularly ratios of provision for different types of facilities, such as shops and offices and schools and factories. And then part two is very much more about the design of the toilets and the fixtures and fittings. Part three is a plumbing standard, concerned more with the sort of mechanical technical side. And then, as I said, we've created this new part four, which is specifically on public toilets, because previously there was no requirement for, there were no standards at all on public toilets. It was very much left to the local authority. Should I just add a bit about that? Under the 1936 Public Health Act, local authorities have got the powers to provide toilets, but it's not compulsory for them to provide public toilets. So it's always been a bit of a sort of chance as to whether or not an area has good public toilets or not. Whereas we've tried to create an actual uniform standard that can be applied right across the country by a whole range of local authorities.
Do you think it could also be applied outside the country, worldwide?
Well, I would like to see it apply elsewhere. I'm actually also a member of the ICC, which is the International Code Commission, which has been producing an international standard on toilet provision and public toilet provision. And I've recently been to Philadelphia, where we had some committee meetings on this, and we discussed the forthcoming part four, because I think it's very applicable, although obviously it hasn't been actually finalized and issued yet. And we also talked with American colleagues who are trying hard to, at the federal level, to get a new toilet standard going through. And we have colleagues from all over the British Commonwealth and from Far East and from several European countries and other countries and other continents, South America and Africa, etc. And so we're very much all moving together towards a better toilet standard for everyone across the world.
Fantastic. And what are the benefits of BS 6465 for?
Well, the benefits are very numerous. To start off with, we feel that the whole public toilet situation is in a complete mess, and there's been a decline in public toilet provision. About 40% of public toilets have been closed in the last 10 years, and those that remain are often in the wrong location or they're very poor in terms of access and facilities. So in the standard, to start with, we've set some general principles in terms of what we call our toilet strategy, that every town or city should have like a decent hierarchy of toilets, because you can't put toilets everywhere because of the cost. But we're saying that in a city centre, for example, you should have the best and highest level of provision, but also that you should have toilet provision, public toilet blocks at the district level and at the local level. And even in remote rural areas, if you undertake a survey of a situation, you may find that there is a tourist attraction or there are local fairs or events that every so often require large levels of provision. So we've very much worked on a sort of logical, rational hierarchy here of levels of provision relative to what's required. And then secondly, we've looked at how many toilets are needed. And this is like saying how long is a piece of string. And colleagues on the committee, particularly Michelle Barclay, has been very actively involved in trying to work out a formula as to the numbers of toilets. And this is based on factors such as how many people there are in the area, how long they're likely to stay in the area, whether they're male or female, whether they're travelling by public transport or not. And all these factors together, we can begin to get some reasonable idea of what provision should be given. And then also in the standard, we've got a lot more details about the siting and location of toilets, because often toilets are located in very dangerous locations in terms of vandalism and crime. And we've recommended there should be good signage, signs pointing people to the toilets, because otherwise they won't know they're there. And then at the more detailed level of the toilet block, we've introduced various specifications as to access and lack of steps. Not just for people with disabilities, but for everybody, because there's a lot of women with pushchairs, people with luggage, elderly people. So it's always good to have level, easy access to the toilets. And then within the toilet block, within the cubicles within the toilets, we've looked at all sorts of issues about the sizes and dimensions of the cubicles and making sure there's adequate provision for people to get in and out of the toilets, particularly women. And also, of course, adequate space around the urinals for the men. And adequate washing facilities and heating and lighting and general security factors. So we've gone from the highest level to the lowest level, or maybe from the lowest to the highest. You know, we've gone from, as we say, we've gone from the guttermost to the uttermost, from the very, very detailed issues up to the high level strategic issues, the sort of city hierarchy of toilets.
Okay, and what led to develop this part of the S6465?
Sorry?
What led the development of
What
this
led
part?
to it? There's been a great deal of pressure amongst the general public for better provision of public toilets. There's lots and lots of campaign groups, and this is a huge political issue that many people write to their members of parliament about. And the British Toilet Association, the BTA, has been particularly active in campaigning for better provision and better standards. And in fact, Mike Bone is one of the committee chair people, sorry, one of the committee people on this, on BS6465. As for myself, I've been involved in undertaking toilet research at the university for several years, and previously we've received different research grants on this from the Nuffield Foundation, from EPSRC, which is a big research council. I'm doing research in association with UCL in what's called the Vivacity Project, in which public toilets was a big issue. So we've interviewed, you know, hundreds of people. We've looked at masses of toilets, and and in this process, we've found again and again that people want more toilets, particularly women, of course, because there's under provision for women relative to men. But women are the ones that are more likely to be out and about doing the shopping with their children, with elderly people, and of course the problem of queues. This is a huge issue we've had to look at. Women generally have to queue to use the toilet. They have to stand in line. And this is mainly because historically there's been more provision for men than women. And even if you have sort of equal floor space in terms of the size of the toilet block, you can always get more urinals in than you can cubicles. And of course, women need cubicles. So this is one issue that we have looked at in amongst all the others, trying to reduce queuing for women, not only with public toilets, but also in our revisions of the previous part one of the standard. We've tried to revise and increase the level of provision in locations such as theatres and cinemas and sports facilities, where you often get very, very long queues during the interval when everybody wants to go to the toilet at once.
Indeed, yeah. Okay, that's fantastic. Thank you very much. Do you want to add anything?
Well, I think I just want to add a few other things. I'm also a member of the World Toilet Organization, and which covers a vast number of countries, but it actually originated in the Far East, where there's been a restroom revolution as they've moved from sort of basically a hole in the ground situation to very modern technological toilets. And colleagues in the World Toilet Organization, they always say you can tell a nation by its toilets, and also you can tell the position of women in the society by the provision of toilets. For example, if you've got under provision of toilets and it's all very dirty and nobody seems to care, then you'll know that that nation isn't really very concerned. And if you're a tourist and you go to a country where you come out, you remember the toilets, you think, well, don't want to go there again. So it's a huge issue in terms of tourism and impact. And we've always argued that the business case, that there might not be much money in toilets. It's not just sort of money down the drain, though, because if you have good public toilets, that encourages people in terms of tourism and in terms of visiting city centres, and they will stay longer and they'll feel more at ease if they know there's toilets. But secondly, as I said, there's a huge issue around women's provision, and this is an international issue. And for example, in America, when I was in Philadelphia, we were talking a lot about what they call potty parity, which is their way of talking about getting equal provision of toilets for women. And they've actually now in 20 states in America achieved this, and they're aiming for federal legislation on this as well, and the equivalent of their equivalent of the British standards in terms of changing things. And I think in Britain as well, for too many years, women have had to queue. And in fact, many people, particularly in Japan, they say that just a one-to-one equal ratio isn't enough, because women actually take twice as long as men to use the toilet. Women take nearer to 90 seconds, whereas men take about 45. And I'm including in that all the time actually within the cubicle. And because women, obviously, they've got to take more clothes off and they've got to sit down or hover over the toilet, it's a whole different issue. And also women have more biological reasons to use the toilet, such as pregnancy and menstruation and maybe incontinence in some cases. So it's a much more complicated and more drawn-out business altogether. And I myself am actually very passionate about this, because I feel this is the last bastion, this is the last boundary in terms of gender equality. We're still treated as if we're living 100, 200 years ago. So many other things have become much more equal, but provision for women is still very bad. And when we were in America, one colleague actually said that if this was a black-white thing, this is an ethnic minority issue, and if black people had to queue for the toilet and white people didn't, there would instantly be a huge human rights issue about this. It would be very political and it would be changed overnight. But because it's women that are queuing, nobody cares. They just laugh and say, oh, well, it's the women's fault. They must be spending too long in the toilet. When in fact, in statistically, you've only got to count the number of toilets and the number of urinals to immediately realise men have generally got twice the level of provision. And that's why there are queues. So this standard, I consider to be a great step forward. The only regret about it is the fact that it only applies to new toilets. It's not retrospective. There's no retrofit in it, as perhaps with some of the disability acts. But on the other hand, we live in hope that as new future toilets are built, they'll be built to much more equal and better standards.